This is the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 10, Productivity and Organizing Lies.
Aloha, and welcome to the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Productively live and work from anywhere in the world. Now, here's your host, Erica Duran.
Aloha e komo mai. Hello and welcome, escape artists, to the 10th episode of the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. I am your host, Erica Duran, coming to you live from the beautiful Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort in Hawaii, a 62-acre oceanfront paradise on the Big Island. Mahalo for their hosting and sponsoring this podcast. Today was a little adventure day on the other side of the island to Volcano, Hawaii. Now, I've been to this part of the island before, but only by helicopter. And I wish I had planned a few days on this side of the island, because there were so many hiking trails and sights to see. We did see the glowing embers of the active volcano, and there was lots of steam coming up everywhere. If you're ever on this part of the island, you may want to try out the Tai Tai restaurant. I love restaurants that ask you for your spice and heat tolerance on a scale of 1 to 10. This place was recommended to us by an amazing photographer here in Waikoloa named Nick Selway. Nick and his partner own Lava Light Galleries, and their work is amazing. They travel the world taking these unique photographs, mostly of nature, but they mount them on sheets of metal, so it gives the art this really interesting texture and glow. They have a storefront gallery in the Queen's Marketplace here in Waikoloa, and of course, a website. I'll link everything I'm mentioning in the show notes. And if you'd like to book the same luxury Makai experience that I'm having, call 1-800-HILTONS or go to their online reservation service at HiltonWaikoloaVillage.com and say you heard about it on the Erica Duran Show. Aloha mahalo to Alamo Rental Car Kona Airport for their generosity in sponsoring my team's transportation on island. Today we are going to talk about productivity and organizing lies. As you may recall from the first episode, I was a certified professional organizer for over 15 years, and I'm currently still the published productivity expert. A freedom-based lifestyle requires that you be very productive with your time and projects so that you can get to the fun experiences more often. Highly organized to also save time and have more creativity and focused. And it sometimes requires having a minimalist attitude so you can afford more frequent and better experiences and not things. But there are a lot of misnomers and frankly lies out there when it comes to getting organized, staying organized, and being productive. Both lies from so-called expert and unrealistic magazines and lies you may be telling yourself. In this episode, we'll touch on time management, productivity, and organizing lies from the media and self-proclaimed experts. The lies you may be telling yourself when trying to be more productive or declutter your life and how to overcome them. And a great exercise that you can do to uncover, reflect, and prevent future productivity and organizing fails. As in every episode, all the links, resources, transcripts, and action sheets will be in my website at ericaduran.co/10 for this is episode number 10. As I mentioned, this week we're also providing a free worksheet to uncover, reflect, and prevent future productivity and organizing fails, and that'll be in the show notes as well. Now, your freedom is waiting. Let's not waste any time. With so many people taking the leap into entrepreneurship these days, productivity is a hot topic. When you start a business, you quickly realize that your only job is turning time into money, and it's all up to you now. You won't get paid or survive by pretending to work like you may have back in your job. Even if you're not interested in starting or growing a business, you may want to get ahead in your job or just get your work done so you have more time for the things you enjoy. I think everyone is finally starting to believe that multitasking is a lie and totally unproductive. But what about the other common productivity tips you may read about in magazines or hear about? Are they really true? Are they still true with technology advancing so quickly? Are they true for everyone's work style and energy peaks? So this week, I'm reevaluating popular productivity and organizing strategies and tips to see if they are really true and appropriate for everyone. And these are not in any particular order at all. And there's 20 of them, so let's get started. So number one, have one browser window open at a time. Just a few months ago, I did strongly believe that having only one internet browser window open at a time was productive and helped me and other people stay focused. And I still believe that you shouldn't have a bunch of social media sites and non-work related windows open when you're trying to accomplish something. But in the last year, with more and more functions being web-based, it is unproductive to close some windows and then reopen and log into them each time you need them. Tools like Wave Accounting, Google Docs, Dropbox, Asana require browser windows to be open and for you to log in each time you return. Reopening and logging in takes time and breaks up your focus. You know which windows you need to have open to be efficient in your work and which ones are distracting you and wasting time, so you be the judge. Number two, early risers are more productive. I am pretty useless before 10 a.m., but I'm super sharp and creative at 1 a.m. I get teased all the time that I'm lazy because I think a 9 a.m. phone call is way too early. I say late risers unite. We are not lazy, we just have a different natural rhythm. Part of a freedom-based lifestyle and taking all the risks that is involved in entrepreneurship is having the choice of when you wake up and when you work. Number three, social media is unproductive. Social media can be very productive to build relationships with future clients, customers, and referral partners. But it is very easy to abuse it to a point where it is not productive, and then you wonder where the last 3 hours went in a fog of browser blackout. About 80% of my business comes from social media, and now that I'm traveling full-time, even more relationships and partnerships are forming online. I think social media is much more productive and targeted than driving all over town, spending hours in long meetings that have no niche relevance, not to mention the bad food they serve at those meetings. So don't write off social media as a marketing and networking tool, but have a strategy and set time limits on your use. And I did a whole episode on this that I will link in the show notes for you. Number four, reviewing email conversations by thread is productive. That's number four lie. For most clients I've worked with, having their email set to view messages by conversation is unproductive. You would think it would be productive seeing all the past back and forth emails organized by conversation. But this view lends itself to people inevitably missing incoming new emails. Each new email that lands in your inbox should be evaluated and organized into reply or reference or pending. When emails are arriving by conversation thread, this clean way of processing them doesn't work, and it's almost impossible to clear your inbox at the end of each email session. It is also a problem when people tend to not change their subject line during the conversation thread. You're inevitably going to miss new emails that way. Change the subject line each time a new subject starts forming in an email. Number five, working in 20-minute focused sessions is productive. So this is the Pomodoro technique. And I love the Pomodoro technique, but this is on my lie list for some situations. This is a strategy where you work in 20-minute sessions and then take a break for 5 to 10 minutes. After 4 20-minute work sessions, you take a longer break for about 30 minutes. This technique works to get you motivated, to jumpstart and focus if you are feeling procrastination creeping in, or your to-do list feels overwhelming at the moment, or you just don't know where to begin on a task or project. But when you are completely focused and working on a project, that constant alarm going off every 20 minutes is annoying and distracting. Use the Pomodoro technique to get you going, and then when you are focused and plowing through your work, just stay in your flow and get it done without all the alarms. Number 6, checking your email in the morning is unproductive. Checking your email in the morning puts you in a totally reactive mode and can destroy the entire day that you had planned if you let it. But there are a few circumstances where checking your email in the morning might be the most productive choice you can make for that time of day. Now, here are some examples. If you have team members in different time zones that need approvals and answers from you in order to get their work completed, you might want to check your email in the morning. If you are not a morning person and mindlessly going through emails wakes you up, gets your mind going, and takes email off your plate for the entire rest of the day, you might want to check it in the morning. If you only have 30 minutes before a meeting or call begins in the morning, you are not going to dive into a big project at that time, so you might as well get some short and simple email replies out of the way. If you have a strong system and designated sessions for the way you respond to emails, and it will honestly only take you a few minutes to clear your inbox, you might want to do it in the morning. Number 7, squeezing one more to-do in before a scheduled phone call or meeting. This is an observation I found when working with highly productive and successful entrepreneurs and top-level executives. They think they are being productive if they squeeze one more task in before a call or meeting. They inevitably underestimate the amount of time that squeezed task will take, or they get so engrossed in the task that they lose track of time and are therefore consistently late to meetings and for scheduled phone calls. I think it is better to be calm, focused, and arrive on time to your meeting than to scurry in late because you are trying to get one more thing done. Your task will be there later, and your reputation for being on time and keeping your personal stress levels low are more important. Number 8, procrastination is bad. I believe procrastination can be good, and we spoke about this in episode 2, and I'll link to that in the show notes. It shows you what you are resisting on. It shows you what tasks you might not be good at, and procrastination can show you what you need to learn. It shows you what you should be delegating to someone else, and it shows you what you are doing just because you think you are supposed to. Instead of looking at procrastination as being lazy or unmotivated, look at it like it's your intuition or your guide to what you really should be working on and what you should get help with. Number 9, I know exactly where everything is in my stacks and piles. No, just no. I've coached hundreds of people over the last 20 years, and they are always thankful, more productive, and more creative when the piles and stacks turn into usable, organized papers, projects, and plans. Digging through piles and losing items you need drains your energy. All this stuff is blocking your creativity, focus, and joy. Number 10. I am doing the best I can do to keep up. I am sure you are putting in many hours towards your business or job and are totally exhausted some days. But are you really working on the right things? Are you just doing busy work? Are you at your desk for long hours, quote, working, but have nothing to show for it? Maybe it's time to work smarter and not harder and reevaluate what you are working on to see what is actually giving you your desired results and income. Maybe it is time to enlist the help of a coach that can see what you're not seeing, hold you accountable to your own dreams, and teach you some new tips and techniques and ways to structure your day that could totally change everything. Okay, number 11, purchasing bins and other organizing products. It seems every year right after the holidays and for the new year and then again during the spring cleaning season, discount stores are overstocked with bins and so-called organizing products. I see people plowing their carts through these stores on passionate mission with a look in their face of, I'm going to get organized once and for all. Their carts are stacked high with bins, drawer organizers, desktop organizers, closet apparatuses, wrapping paper holders, file folders, labels, markers, everything. But what they don't realize is that these products often become clutter themselves. Think really hard before you purchase organizing products, especially bins. When was the last time you used the item? Are you really going to use it again? If you were moving, would you take this item with you? If you had to pay for storage, would you store this item? If it is in a bin, you probably don't use the item on a regular enough basis, and you can probably think of alternatives to this item so you can release it. Some clients who call me are not doing the real planning and inside work to accomplish being productive and organized forever. They are just after quick fix, sense of calm, and false sense of being in control. They think that if they just get sort of things into categories or bins, all their troubles will be over, out of sight, out of mind style. Think about how your ideal lifestyle would be. What hobbies would you really enjoy in the future? What new habits do you want to support? All these mental exercises should be done prior to just stuffing like or similar items into the proper bin. Also, think of how your lifestyle and how you work has changed with technology. It has changed what we need. For example, I can't remember the last time I used a paperclip, except for maybe getting the SIM card out of my phone. So then why did I have cute little paperclip holder on my desk for years in a prime desktop real estate? Technology came so fast, and I was just so used to having those paperclips because every desk is supposed to have paperclips, right? Well, they're not anymore. We don't really use them anymore. Number 12, multitasking. Every time you switch gears on a task, it takes you 5 times longer to complete it. Not to mention the added mental and physical stress of doing more than one thing at a time. And we can't really even technically do one thing at a time. We're just constantly switching back and forth. When you know that in the end of multitasking isn't saving you any time and actually you're losing time, it doesn't look so attractive. How would you like to be free from this pressure that you are never doing enough? So when you're checking your email, check your email, then close it completely. When you're on the phone with a client, customer, or family member, listen intently. When you are cooking, just cook. Pay attention and just notice how much more enjoyable the experience is. Number 13, not defining your business niche. I recently wrote a whole article about this. a little work up front on defining who your target market or your niche is, and then seeking out the places that those people in large numbers are gathered by someone else will change your business productivity forever. Of course, you won't turn any clients or customers away that don't fit your niche. But think of how much clarity you will have in your business if you only knew who you were looking for. And think how much easier your elevator pitch would be if you knew who you were targeting. Here's the silly example to illustrate. I help people with mini dachshunds have the best behaved dogs in town, even if their dog is over 2 years old. In this example, you know exactly which meetup groups to attend, what magazine ads to place, where large number of dachshund owners would be gathered, so you are handling the objection that my dog is too old to learn something. This will make your marketing efforts crystal clear and your prospects self-select themselves to work with you. No icky sales feeling involved. Number 14, not saying no enough. Nothing will drain your time and energy more than overextending yourself and trying to get everything you want done, except doing too much of what someone else wants you to get done. That will drain you even more and make you resentful and frustrated. Really evaluate what is asked of you to do by friends and colleagues and see if it matches side by side with what you want out of life. If the answer is no match, then say no and not feel guilty because you are working for the highest good and their highest good too. It is never pleasant to work with someone who really doesn't want to be there. You will throw off their whole flow. So when you say no to them, of course in the nicest possible way, change the way you are thinking. Don't feel guilty. Think that you are protecting them. No one wants an unenthusiastic person on their team. Number 5. Taking the time to learn how to use new equipment and functions. Take a look at all the repetitive tasks you do throughout your workday and at home and see if there is a way to automate it. I see so many clients with the latest in technology, but they are only using about 5% of the equipment's capabilities. They could be saving hours a week and their work would be so much less stressful if they would just invest as much time in learning the equipment as they did in shopping for it and earning the money to pay for it. For example, oftentimes using shortcuts on your computer keyboard is much faster than constantly grabbing for your mouse. The top 20 fax numbers you use can be programmed into the speed dial. Learn to pre-program your coffee maker so it's ready when you get up. Number 16 is not getting enough sleep. Not only is it cheating yourself out of 7 to 9 hours sleep per night, poor for your health on so many levels, it is a major cause of poor time management and productivity. You've heard this information before, I am sure, but try to plan when you would need to get sleep in order to wake up on time in the morning and feel completely refreshed. And turn off all electronics in your bedroom an hour before you try to go to sleep so you will not miss your sleep cues and you'll sleep deeper without that electronic interference. Just try this for 21 days and see if you notice a difference. Number 17, underestimating the scope of a project. I see a lot of people very gung-ho about tackling their garage, attic, or big walk-in closet or their overflowing craft room in a day or even a long weekend. What usually happens is they go purchase a bunch of bins and organizing products. Then they pull everything out of the space that they are working on, making a mess in all other areas of their home or office. Then they start reminiscing too much with what they find. In just about 4 hours, they start getting exhausted. Decluttering, because of the emotional aspect, is more tiring than people initially think. So now you are tired, hungry, and emotionally drained, and the rest of your home or office is a mess. What I suggest doing is breaking these big organizing projects, or ones that are highly emotional, into smaller sessions. For example, let's say you have a cluttered hall closet with various categories. There could be linens, holiday decorations, photos, and scrapbook materials, and out-of-season clothing and candles. What you could do is just pick one category at a time and tackle that. So, for example, one day you would just grab all the linens, toss or donate the excess, and then refold them and put them back. The next session, grab all the photos. Throw out the ones you don't like and send the other ones you are keeping off to a lab to be scanned or framed. By doing things in small batches and in categories, you will actually get it done and not exhaust yourself. You are not on HGTV. You don't have a team to help you do this in 24 hours or less. And you don't need a big reveal to be satisfied with the job. Number 18 is having an inbox. Big mistake. This evil little box is disguised as the perfect answer to paper clutter, but it often becomes a nightmare of a dumping ground. Everything in your inbox is a decision that has to be made, a task that has to be done, something you don't have the money to pay for yet, something that doesn't have a home, so you put it in the inbox, quote, for now. Oftentimes, when you do get around to going through the inbox, so much time has passed that most of what's in it is trash or overdue anyway. I propose that you toss your inbox, then start processing these items as they come in. By using your day planner or a computer project manager and calendar, and building the good habits of processing things as they come in, making quicker decisions, you will eliminate the need for an inbox and all that guilt of never going through it again. Number 19, filing and or scanning. You've probably heard this before. Over 80% of what we file never gets referenced again. With scanning, that number is even higher. But at least with scanning, it's searchable on your computer and doesn't take up physical space in your home or office. Filing or scanning documents, especially today with everything that is on the internet, is most likely a big waste of time. Before you spend time making the perfect color-coded labels for your files or invest $100 to $400 in a scanner, and then hours of doing the actual scanning, think long and hard if it is worth it. Do you really need every business card you collect? Do you really need those magazine articles you ripped out or recipes? All the school paperwork or art projects? Notes from seminars long past. Just make sure you have your awareness turned on and actual purpose to spend time and money filing or scanning. Or even worse, paying someone else to do the filing or scanning for you. Number 20, automating the wrong things. There is an automatic assumption in our society that technology is better than the traditional way of doing things. And often, this is in fact true. But I work with people every day that are automating the wrong things for their life and business. For example, they are going back and forth with people on email or the phone trying to make appointments when there are applications like TimeTrade out there that can let your clients and customers choose a time on your calendar that works for them. I also see people manually paying their bills still with checks, envelopes, stamps, and not running their monthly bills through their bank's online system. Another example is invoicing. Many of you are still doing this by hand instead of having your online shopping cart bill them every month automatically. There are hundreds of things that you can and should be automated to save you hours of tedious work. But one of the main things that people try to use technology in their planning and organizing your time. Your life and the way you spend your time living it is way too important to probably plan on a phone. This is a topic for several other episodes, but my intention right here is just to know that you will feel more calm, centered, and focused, and put together and attached to your goals if they are on paper. So I would love to help you personally with this if you need some help. If you have any questions about these top 20 productivity or organizing lies, please leave me a voicemail. There's a voicemail button in the right margin of my website, or you can comment on any of these tips at ericaduran.co/10. And now, before we dive into the next segment, we're going to hear a word from our incredible sponsor that makes this broadcast all possible. Hilton Waikoloa Village, a resort like no other, nestled among swaying palms and overlooking the glistening blue Pacific Ocean, lies the award-winning Hilton Waikoloa Village on Hawaii's Big Island. This 62-acre oceanfront paradise blends contemporary facilities with graceful Hawaiian culture and is a romantic destination within itself. Three towers occupy a protected oasis woven around tropical gardens, where 1,240 rooms abound with the subtle elegance of Hawaiian splendor. This amazing property boasts two championship golf courses and a seaside putting course, 8 world-class tennis courts, the luxurious Kohala Spa, 14 international cuisine restaurants, lounges, and bars, world-class shopping, and a museum walkway lined with more than 1,800 authentic treasures. The Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort is also the Big Island home to the friendly and playful dolphins of Dolphin Quest. For more information or to book your stay, visit HiltonWaikoloaVillage.com or call 1-800-HILTONS. And be sure to mention that you heard about this beautiful resort on The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Mahalo. Aloha, escape artists. We are having an exciting contest to launch this podcast. If you want to enter, go ahead and subscribe to Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio in iTunes and then leave us a review. Once a month, a lucky listener will win a Kona bag from that list of reviews. Kona bags are the best mini backpack travel purse, and if you want to learn more or see them for yourself, you can go to my website at ericaduran.co and click the shop tab. So again, to enter the contest to win a Kona bag, all you have to do is subscribe in iTunes and leave us a positive review. Mahalo. Want to partner with me? Would you like to get your business showcased in front of thousands of productive-minded lifestyle entrepreneurs and travelers? Why not become a sponsor of The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio? Go to ericaduran.co/sponsor to see if this partnership is right for you. Mahalo. We're back and switching gears to a concept that can help you prevent future abandoned projects and future productivity and organizing fails. And I call it an abandoned project worksheet. And I created one for you. It's free to download. And it's at ericaduran.co/10. So probably about once a quarter, I would suggest that you pull out this worksheet and redo it for your current lifestyle, just to see if you're on track. So it is estimated that every American has, on average, over 300 hours of unfinished projects. That means that if you worked on nothing else but projects 8 hours a day, it would take you almost 38 days to complete them. Here's a list of projects that I most often see on my clients' abandoned project list: scrapbooking home improvement projects, learning a second language, starting a business, writing a book, craft projects, sewing projects, business partnerships, learning to cook in a new style, a new exercise program, learning to play an instrument, getting financial records or other paperwork in order, gardening, organizing certain area of the home, starting a new hobby, starting a sport, especially those ones with a lot of equipment like diving or golf, etc. A lot of projects and opportunities sound like a good idea at first. You get inspired and purchase all the equipment or supplies needed to conquer the new project. But then what happens? Did life's normal demands, old habits, and your schedule get in the way? Was there never a distinct time set aside to work or complete the project? Did you jump in during a moment of excitement without really thinking it through? Or did you start a project because of someone else in your life? It wasn't really you wanting to do this. If we just take a few moments to slow down, stop, and evaluate all the abandoned projects that have come in and out of our lives, they would give us a tremendous insight. I've included a downloadable abandoned project worksheet that you can find at ericaduran.co/10. So print one out for yourself and see the patterns that emerge. Taking a look at your abandoned projects isn't meant to make you feel guilty or bad. It is meant to show you patterns on how you operate and what makes you start things and then quit things. Knowing this can save you a ton of time, clutter, money, energy, anguish, and guilt in the future. Every time you attempt to start something new or quit what you've started that has been going on in your life, something's been going on in your life every time, most likely, you've abandoned something. Do you usually abandon a project around a birthday or a breakup or the new year? Was there a death of a loved one, a new relationship that got you off track? Did summer happen? Did you move? Are you just starting projects or hobbies to impress or attract someone else? Was it a meeting with an old friend that sparked this? A holiday? A home improvement or craft show? A reunion? Did the school year start? Did you start something after a networking meeting or a friend's wedding? What was going on when you got inspired to start a project or get involved with a new opportunity? And on the flip side, what was going on in your life when you abandoned the project? List everything on the worksheet and see if there's any patterns. The abandoned project worksheet is meant to prevent you from taking on similar projects in the future without putting some thought and awareness into them, and actually figuring out if you have the opening in your schedule for them. This will also save you a great deal of money and future clutter. You won't run out and buy all the equipment needed for a new hobby or project. My suggestion is that you rent or borrow whatever you need to try to the new hobby or to complete the project instead of jumping in and purchasing all the materials. Then, if it sticks, you can get your own customized stuff later. Now, if the abandoned project worksheet has made you realize you need to quit something to make time for something more enjoyable, go ahead and get rid of all the stuff that was involved with that project or hobby. There is no use in letting those things hang around and clutter up your space and at the same time making you feel bad for not completing or sticking with them. Next, I would suggest planning out exactly when you will work on your future projects and put them in your planner or project management system like Trello or Asana. It also helps if you have a friend or coach to either do these projects with you to make them more enjoyable, or they can act as your accountability partner. Sometimes just knowing that someone else is aware of what you're not getting done is all you need. For the projects that you still want to complete on the sheet, maybe it's time to delegate or outsource some or part of these so they will actually get done. No one said you had to do everything. You just wanted the thing done, right? The best use of the attached abandoned project worksheet is using the insight against future opportunities that come your way. Just because you didn't complete a project before and now a similar one came up doesn't mean you won't finish it this time around. But now you are aware and can make a more educated decision on whether to take it on or not before you even start. Lastly, I don't want you to feel guilty about quitting something. Our lives are constantly evolving with new interests, inspirations, and opportunities. There is no bigger waste of time than to keep doing something just out of guilt, obligation, or because you spent money on it. You'll never get that money back anyway. You'll never get that time back. So just let it go. Now that you've recognized the patterns of why you are starting and then quitting your abandoned projects, just rip up that paper and toss the list and don't worry about them anymore. So what's on your abandoned project list? You can write them in the comments at ericaduran.co/10. And sharing will get this outside of yourself and make it easier to let go. So what are you going to be quitting? So there you have it for this episode of the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. So just to recap what we covered, several time management, productivity, and organizing lies from the media and self-proclaimed experts. The lies you may be telling yourself when trying to be more productive or declutter your life and how to overcome them. And the abandoned project worksheet exercise that you can do to uncover, reflect, and prevent future productivity and organizing fails. Mahalo nui loa to the Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort for hosting and sponsoring this show. To book your Makai luxury experience, ask reservations for the Makai experience at hiltonwaikoloavillage.com or call 1-800-HILTONS. And please be sure to let them know that you heard about it on the Erica Duran Show. And a big mahalo to Alamo Rental Car Kona for sponsoring a nice ride for me to get around the island in. Remember, you can get all the resources and links to what was discussed in the show at ericaduran.co under the Radio Podcast tab. This episode's notes and action sheet and other links are at ericaduran.co/10. Let's make this a two-way conversation, so please comment at the end of each post. I'd love to hear from you. While you are there, be sure to subscribe and connect with me on social media. All my links are on the website. And if you like this episode, I invite you to share it with your friends or even leave a review on iTunes. We may read your review on the air. Mahalo hui ho. Thank you until we meet again. Sending much aloha.
Thank you for listening to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Be sure to go to ericaduran.co to get all of this episode's show notes and resource links. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Never settle. Mahalo.